Congressman John Chimka is joining us in the studio, and thanks for coming in, taking so much out of your time to make your way here.
No, I
appreciate
it. It's been a long time.
It really is.
In studio is the best.
It really is. And there's, you know, there's so much to talk about, because number one has to be this morning. The magic number appears to be $34 billion. The trade war is sometimes being called this morning between the U.S. and China. Your thoughts, John? Because what they're talking about is things, car parts, airplane parts, technology. We're going to slap tariffs.
Well, first, people really have to understand that that the Chinese are thieves. They're stealing our intellectual property. I've talked with businessmen who've gone over there. They negotiate. The businesses want to have that market. And then they say, oh, yes, but you can only stay here unless you turn over your intellectual property, your proprietary information. Some do for the gold.
Guaranteed, yeah.
And some don't, because they realize that that's really what makes them efficient and profitable. And so some leave. Also, the espionage going on through Chinese purchases of companies, negotiations throughout this country is scary. So this is more than just
trade.
It's more than just trade. It's putting our foot down on their attempt to buy and extort our country. So you got to put that in perspective of this fight. The economy's going. Good job numbers again today.
4% unemployment, 213,000 new jobs.
So if you're going to engage in a trade war and try to rectify these wrongs, and I'm not pleading innocent to some of these votes cast years ago about, you know, getting open markets for my producers. So I'm not trying to be holier than thou on this process. But if you're trying to rectify this, when the economy is going well, it's probably a good time. So that's the kind of perspective that I come to this battle with. Our producers, I was with some yesterday, and they...
And when you were saying producers, what kind of producers? Because I'm thinking soybeans.
Well, beans,
in your district,
pork are right. Two scariest ones right now, because the Asian market and China on pork.
And fond of soybeans as well.
Soybeans. There are obviously that's going to be tight if these things continue to go through as we see.
Right. But we're also talking about countries that really need food too. I mean, is there an edge there? Or is it unethical for me to even say that?
Well, I do think, depending upon, and a farmer and the Farm Bureau and the Soybean Association are better to answer these questions. You know, you're looking at a world market. So who's producing what now? Is there a drought in Argentina? Is there production levels off?
And there is a drought in Argentina, because you said it. Now, I was getting ready to say Brazil, so thanks for stopping.
Well, I'm not sure which one. It's just part of the stuff that I've heard. And so short term, although the bushel of beans has already dropped a dollar. So, having said that, where are the markets? If someone else takes a lot of the Chinese market, can we then fill the other markets? I just don't know, and I'm not following it that closely.
Has China and the European Union taken advantage of America in the last decades, in your opinion? Because when you look at some of the tariff numbers from Canada, 241, 237, percent tariffs, right?
Right.
And I noticed in particular the president's comments at his presentation last night in the rally in Great Falls, Montana, was talking about this. And by the time he's done talking, and very persuasive section on these tariffs in the EU.
Well, there are.
Especially when it comes to money for NATO, too.
Well, there are winners and losers in trade. And even in trade negotiations, people who believe in open borders and free trade, you hear it from both sides, free and fair trade. What would be fair trade? Well, fair trade would be no tariffs on anybody, right? It would be let the most efficient producer. Why are you protecting this market and then you're mad at us protecting? So even though we've negotiated lower, when we go into negotiations, we're trying to lower the tariffs on our goods because I've always believed that we're the market everybody wants. Now, China may be becoming the market everybody wants.
Because of sheer numbers.
And because of sheer numbers. So that might that might affect the international feeling for trade. But again, I always return to our industrial base, our high tech, the computer chips, you know, and I almost every piece of military equipment that has
a motherboard with a piece of China technology right on top of it.
Really? This is serious stuff.
It's serious stuff on a lot of different levels, too.
Right.
You know, new polls indicate that when it comes to the upcoming election in November, what people want to talk about is immigration. Now, what more recently we've seen, most recently, abolish ICE, and then prior to that, the separation of children, all right? Numerically, that was carried out with great measure numbers during the Obama administration. We're talking about now the Trump administration and a trend that where that continued with separation, and then the call, including from some of the Illinois legislators, to do away with ICE.
You know, the progressive left, they're just out of their minds. I mean, you know, so the four pillars of the administration and negotiations with this is border enforcement. This problem on the border right now is because we don't have laws that we can enforce. And so we continue.
Laws that Congress created while members of Congress say do away with the body that enforces the laws.
So we've had two votes on the floor. It's like my first immigration votes in decades, right? The president said he was 1,000% behind each one of them. They both failed for whatever reasons. But they start with border security and a wall. They start with ending the catch and release, which is part of this separation of adults from children. Now, you notice how I said that, adults from children. I think we all lament adults from their children. Some of these, we don't know if the adults are actually children or they're being trafficked and kept for human trafficking in the United States. So this is a lot more complicated.
And it's interesting because when you said that to me last time, I'm like, oh, God, John, they're going to try to take John out back behind the woodshed by the time this interview's over. And then I went out and started reading about it. And it turned out you and it's my fault because I wasn't properly prepared. Because I glossed over that to a part when it came to the numbers, because the numbers that were supplied by the U.S. government state 10 out of 12 are not with a family member. That's 12,000 in, 10,000 without family, 2,000 with.
And even if they are, there's a case of one uncle who had a nephew or a niece, left them, and once they got a couple miles into the border, left that child unattended in the middle of the desert,
right,
by themselves. Now, that's a family member.
Right, and then you've got this DNA testing proposed. You've got the new judge's ruling now saying that they have to be talking to their parents by tonight. They've got to get that done. And how much of this is real, practical, we need to solve, and how much of this is political theater? And I know that requires a certain level of speculation at every point, but I watched a number of videos where people are being reunited where the child is going, "Where's my mother?" while they're being reunited with their mother.
Well, I think both. I think both is there's some real aspects, real decisions made, and this is government. There's always politics,
yeah,
and the use of emotions to sway people's view. So I think there are both involved to the extent that the Secretary of HHS. See, there's a whole different process too. You've got ICE, Immigration, Customs Enforcement, right? And then you have HHS. So you'll hear and you read about Secretary Azar. He's the Secretary of HHS. Well, there is, because of the current law, there is a collection of people who break the law. And then there is, how do you take care of the children while you have some adjudication of people who broke the law? Remember, coming across
and
our
the
border.
Clock is, and the judge says clock's ticking the whole time, too.
And remember, coming across the border without a visa is illegal. It's against the law. So I kind of hate to say this too, but the reality is, if parents do not want to be separated from their children, they shouldn't be coming across the border and breaking the law.
I've never told anybody this, John. Never told anybody this ever. My mom and dad ran away. They went to Mexico. They were stopped at the border. Sergeant Gonzalez calls my, what would be my grandfather and my grandmother, says, we have your children at the Mexican border. We're going to send them back. I've never told that to anybody. I just thought, you know, kind of, yeah. Now granted, this was 1960, but my parents tried to enter Mexico, and they were sent back to Saline County.
So these are central, so, I mean, and we do that for Mexicans. These are, what are they?
Guatemala?
Other than Mexican. I mean, there's a phrase. So they're Central American.
Right.
So the Mexican government allows these people to traffic from the southern part of their country
through
all the way to the northern part. You know, they're letting, but they're not going to let them stay if they stay in Mexico.
Right.
Oh, you're going to the United States. Okay.
No,
you know, keep going north.
Right.
You'll eventually reach the unattended border.
Yesterday, the USA Today top 50 cities people are leaving. Number 18, Peoria. Number 11, Rockford. Number 4, St. Louis. Number 1, Chicago. They lumped them in with Naperville, Elgin, the number one city where people are leaving. Why do you think that is, John?
Well, we're going to continue to be a high tax state. We're a high regulatory state. I don't like to pick on my state government because I'm at the national level. And we're not always that great either. But Springfield, Illinois Washington looks good and functional compared to Springfield, Illinois.
Wow.
So I think that's high tax, high regulatory. And you cry for the state of Illinois because, and you'll hear politicians use this, and they're correct, we have a great inland waterway system. We've got rail. We've got interstate highways. We've got a good workforce. We ought to be rocking it, right?
We got more highways to transport. We're the transportation hub. But ADP and Moody's Analytics saying yesterday, they used the word epidemic, saying the number one problem for businesses in this country, no employees. You know, they're saying that means wages should go up, but that also means inflation will go up because of. But still, right now, the number one problem, and here's the thing, John, you and I have known each other now for a rather long time. And you and I called it yesterday when I was speaking with John A. Logan College President Ron House about we've been dancing to this tune, we need jobs for so long, we didn't recognize the tune has changed.
I was with a business yesterday in Effingham, and they told me, I think, and this is the benefits of the tax reform bill. Tax Reform and Job Creation Act, is that these companies are booming. They need more employees. This company interviewed 10, and then I finally asked them, well, how many could you have hired? We could have hired all 10. They ended up following up on 5, and it was probably drug and alcohol and whatever.
I hear that a lot from the trucking industry.
And they expected 5 to show up on day 1. Only 2 showed.
Right.
So, and then this segues into, believe it or not, the agriculture bill and this debate on working abled citizens.
And you know what? Until you said it, it never occurred to me because I went over the regulations, the rules for if you're able, if you don't have kids, right? You go out. I think is it how many 20 hours a week?
Yeah, 20. I think
right in the ag bill. And that as long as we don't have that, we have a good reason to set at home as opposed to go off to work to one of these opportunities. And I spoke with John Odie, who's going to be joining me on the program on Monday to talk about this very subject. He says, Illinois, $13, $14, $15 an hour starting wages in manufacturing all across the region.
My point is this, that for the benefit of the individual, their self-concept, their definition of self-worth, if there are jobs available, aren't we helping that individual by saying, there's available jobs, go get it, instead of being on the government dole? And that is better for our society. Why, if we have historic, in our lifetime, you and I are pretty old now, historic job creation, job openings, wouldn't you expect the social safety, welfare, subsistence assistance program to decline? You would expect.
Right.
You've got more opportunity, more people can get jobs. That means they should be less reliant on the federal government, which would translate into better self-concept, self-esteem. They're showing their kids important work ethics.
A shift in overall culture, John. I can see that.
So that's the battle. That's the battle. Whether I don't care how people want to spin it. We're not addressing parents with kids. We're not addressing the disabled, those people who need help and assistance. It's those
right.
who probably should be getting a dang job.
Right. Instead of, you know, the EBT card or whatever it's called, right? SNAP card, I guess. So we're going to be coming into an election. We've already started some of the campaign interviews, as I call them. But the environment, you know, that and I see you trolled on Twitter. Pretty rough stuff, John. And you're probably one of the lucky ones compared to some of the things that I've seen. I mean, you've got this new video that's gone ape where the guy grabs the Make America Great hat off the young boy and then takes the boy's drink and throws it in his face and taunts him as he walks away. The protests last weekend, you know, when it comes to ICE, Sarah Huckabee, Sanders in the Red Hen, we've heard the stories there. I mean, we are at a really tumultuous time. But see, here's the thing. Congressman John Shimkus is a real historian. Now, you know that in the past, politics has been vicious in this country. Vicious. But this new round of incivility and Maxine Waters and this churning that goes on, and others say Donald Trump does his fair share of bullying, too. What's to be done, John, as we come into this election season? So is there something that can be done?
I think this is the time to appeal to what's called our better angels. I'm a Christian by faith. God commands us to love God and love our neighbor. When we abuse people and sanctimoniously and attack them, we're not loving our neighbor. I think it's just a simple, act of regardless of people's political views, they're our neighbor to be shown God's love through how we respond to them. It's a moral debate. The ends don't justify the means. That's where I would try. It's not, you know, that's not politically correct way to answer this question, but you know, it's what I think about all the time, because when you lose the core value of treating your neighbor as yourself, you head down a bad path of destruction, abuse, anger, piled upon anger. And the Founding Fathers, you read the Federalist Papers, they didn't agree.
All right.
They struggled. They had to if people want us to get to compromise in moving legislation, they can't polarize us.
But there is no compromise right now. I mean, I can't help but think about the tax reform bill or the State of the Union address, where somebody dared stand up to clap for something that President Trump said and being shooed back down into their seats, an image that I can't remember seeing before.
Well, I just think it's new media 24/7. I think it's really people being able to kind of be their own news network
yeah.
by broadcasting what they want to broadcast
yeah.
through their internal group. But there is compromise. I mean, we are friends across the aisle. There's a lot of bills that move in
got
a bipartisan manner.
Got the military bill through.
That's right.
Right,
so,
with a 2.6% pay increase for military.
Right.
There's some good stuff there. It went to the Senate Appropriations Committee back from the House. They'd already approved it once, I believe. But I don't remember. Did the Senate vote on it?
Well, we're going to conference. So
okay.
There's three bills lumped into it's energy and water, it's military, and it's legislative branch. We passed them there. They passed theirs. And now the conferees are going to meet to reconcile the differences, and then we'll re-vote on that.
You know, it's interesting. I was reading an article about, you know, these steel tariffs haven't created any jobs, and apparently they can't get the internet from Granite City. It's interesting because I saw this big feature story. Well, these steel wages, these tariffs, they've not increased job hiring and steel production. I'm going, do you guys Granite City? Have you heard of the place?
Well, it's one the president uses, and it's one that I always joke because I can't actually see Steel Mill from my house. I live on the Bluffs, and it's north and to the west. I can't see Russia, but I can see Granite City Steel. And they've, I think that when they were idling, I think they had like 500 employees. Immediately upon the announcement, they put out an ad for 500 more.
Yeah.
And I think there's a new round of 350.
Right.
And you just read the local coverage of the city of Granite City itself, which is, you know, kind of there's a renewed optimism. And it goes down to the local delegate. The retail locations, the high school. There is just like, wow, you know,
it catches on, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's a new feeling of optimism, and I balance that with in Madison County. You know, you have Granite City Steel, then you have the Bluffs, which are kind of blue collar bedroom community, and then you have the East part, which is agriculture. So you got the corn and beans and beef and some pork. It's very schizophrenic county right now because as everybody's applauding Granite City Steel and the employment, you have the fear on the east side of the county of the tariffs and tariffs on beans.
You know, it's interesting. I was sitting in an office with one of my employers once. We were talking about percentages of unemployment. And he says, that's the terrible thing about percentages. Each one of those is a human being. And I think we have that tendency to get lost on that. When you talk about 300 jobs coming back and what a steelworker makes in St. Louis, what that allows to do them, their family, numbers don't do it justice.
Right.
That's a person. And sometimes I think maybe I'm a statistics guy because it kind of helps me handle information, but I forget that's a whole family. That's a whole family there, not just one.
Just go back on self-concept and self-esteem. I mean, these steel workers are tough guys. There's a few businesses where people, they just like the fact that people are doing them. They like steel workers, I think, on average, at least in my district. They like coal miners. The real workers, right?
Right.
The rest of us, you know, we're acting.
Yeah.
They like farmers. Those are the jobs that people, take away that ability for the steel worker to go to work, get a paycheck, take care of his family, and then show those values to his kids.
You know what you get?
What do you get?
Detroit.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, the muscle of this nation can do Detroit automaker.
Right.
One of the communities suffering most in this country right now.
Right.
Congressman John Shimkus, I know I spent a lot of time, took a lot of your time, David. I appreciate every minute.
It's always great. I enjoy it. Thank you.
What are you thinking about coming? What's coming up? What's on your list right now?
Well, I should have started with I'm headed to the border on Sunday night. I'll be on there all Monday.
Whereabouts?
I think we're going to McAllen, Texas, to look at detention facilities.
Good.
And
can I have you on next week to learn what you learned?
Of course.
Short, briefly.
So,
good.
And then we go back and start doing the work. In our process, we passed a whole bunch of opioid bills. You know what that scourge and that challenge is, and hopefully they'll get some of those. Will get through the Senate. We'll get those to the president's desk. And
those a lot of you know. I'm just getting the impression always before that a lot of this stuff is coming across the border. A lot of this stuff's coming north, south too, and
well,
boats.
Right.
Did I tell you the story? A doctor from Colorado listens to the show online. Contacted me, and they were getting a machine from China that takes puts the contents in the gel capsule.
Oh yeah,
right,
yeah.
And while she's on the phone in China, they want to know how many opioids you want. Well, and what they were doing was offering to fill the rest of the box around the machine with opioids.
Well, yeah, there's a. I mean, we've learned a lot in this process and a lot of good tweaks to the laws and some major changes that it's going to be helpful. But criminals will always find ways to do criminal activities.
Right. There's no doubt about that. Congressman John Shimkus, opioids, anything else on your mind right now with what you're working on?
No, we go back. As I said, I'll be on the border, but I'm traveling down and down to Vienna, and I'll be in Golconda. So this is kind of my deep southern swing.
Well, I got to go to Golconda. They got the fireworks display tonight.
Yeah, I think I'll
river.
Be back.
I'll
be back
then.
In council by that time.
All right. Well, you're down in Vienna. There's a little barbecue place on the south side, Trevilian, so right there by Trevilian's,
oh,
right across the road.
Sure, yeah.
I know the name of the bar, but not the barbecue place.
How's that happen? Imagine that.
The barbecue place down there is really good, right there on the south side of the intersection.
All right.
You know what the people in Vianna are talking about? No grocery store. They closed unexpectedly, IGA.
Yeah.
And so when it comes to fresh meat, things like that, you can't get access to those there in Vianna. That's what they're talking about. Can I get a grocery store back in Vianna?
Yeah.
So, all right.
I hear that.